In 2017, Brazilian politics was rocked by a corruption scandal that reached all the way up to the president's office and very nearly brought down the government of the time. In May of that year, the Brazilian press revealed that billionaire Joesley Batista, who along with his equally billionaire brother Wesley ran JBS, the world's largest meatpacking company, had secretly recorded conversations with then-president Michel Temer. The recording was leaked shortly after, showing President Temer apparently condoning the payment of hush money to former House Speaker Eduardo Cunha, who was in prison at the time. Unsurprisingly, Brazil went bananas, with the president refusing to resign only because he knew he had enough allies in Congress to block an impeachment vote. But the plot was about to thicken even more, as prosecutors accused the Batista brothers of using their prior knowledge that the stock market would go haywire to sell off and buy back shares in their own company for huge profit. Amid the scandal, Joesley and Wesley stepped down from the JBS board and kept a low profile as they were being investigated for insider trading, until they were eventually exonerated in 2023. And now, in 2024, the Batista brothers are back, and that's the topic of today's episode. I'm Ewan Marshall, Deputy Editor of the Brazilian Report, and this is Explaining Brazil. If you like Explaining Brazil, you should subscribe to the Brazilian Report, the journalistic engine behind this podcast. We're an independent organization funded by our subscribers, and you can help us stay independent and continue to produce award-winning journalism. Our work has been recognized for its quality, and we've won several international awards. And the Brazilian Report was recently nominated for Best News Website in Latin America by the World Association of News Publishers, WANIFRA. To continue this work, we need your support. If you're already a subscriber, you can go the extra mile and join our Buy Me a Coffee fan page. And in return, you'll get exclusive perks like special newsletters and behind the scenes content, as well as a shout out here on our podcast. And today, I'd like to thank our Buy Me a Coffee members: Jaciara de Oliveira, Carson Allen, Gabriel Luca, Andrei Novoseltsev, Pan Ludvik, Leslie Seal, Mark Hillary, Louise Renz, Erwan Menais, Aaron Berger, Kars Vriesvik, Alistair Townsend, Miller Renacido, Peter Abramson, David Dixon, Josette Ozzy Stankovic, Emerging Market Muser, Anna Lund, Peter Suffren, Anderson da Silva, and someone who wishes to remain anonymous. And our Buy Me a Coffee members come from all over the world, so please, if we're butchering the pronunciation of your name, please send us an email. If you too believe in the importance of independent journalism, and if you want to hear your name on our podcast, go to buymeacoffee.com/Brazilian Report and subscribe to one of our membership levels. Click on buymeacoffee.com/Brazilian Report to find out more. At the end of March, global beef giants JBS announced that they were expanding their board from 9 to 11 members in order to make room for the return of the Batista brothers to the head of the company. Shareholders will meet later this week to confirm the decision. That said, shareholder approval is hardly a given. A preliminary JBS shareholders vote, the results of which were revealed on Tuesday, suggests that the brothers could well be blocked from returning to the board. We got in touch with JBS to ask about the results of this preliminary vote, and they assured us that the final outcome will only be made clear after Friday's shareholders meeting, estimating that the votes received in this preliminary portion should only add up to around one-fifth of the total. But the JBS stranglehold on the beef industry has players in the US and Europe flustered. Above all, it's JBS's plans to launch an IPO on the New York Stock Exchange that has got tails up all around the world. In January of this year, 12 members of the House of Commons and House of Lords in the UK sent a letter to the SEC in the US, asking them to reject JBS's request to go public in New York. They argued that allowing the IPO would increase deforestation in the Amazon. That same month, US senators wrote their own letter to the SEC with the same demands, this time using the corruption argument to try and turn American regulators against JBS. An advocacy group was set up in the US at the end of last year to help coordinate these efforts, going by the very straight-to-the-point name of Ban the Batistas. In response to news that Joesley and Wesley are to return to the JBS board, the group called for consumers to boycott JBS brands. And today, I'll be speaking to the executive director of Banda Bachistas, Kimberly Spell. Kimberly, thanks a lot for joining us.
Oh, thank you so much for having me, Ewan.
I think, first of all, it would be good if you could, in your own words, give us a bit of an overview on who the Bachista brothers are, how they made their fortune, and how JBS became the world's biggest meat company.
Before I get started, I would like to just tell you a little about who we are. Banda Bachistas is an advocacy group, and we're working to protect farmers, ranchers, consumers, and investors. We launched late last year to prevent JBS's attempted IPO on the New York Stock Exchange. And we're doing this to protect American independent farmers, responsible investors, and conscious consumers from JBS's long history of corruption. Now, over to your question, the Bachista brothers, how they made their fortune and how JBS became the world's biggest meat company. Those are very big questions. Josely and Wesley Bachista are the billionaire brothers, and they're the sons of JBS founder, Jose Bachista. JBS is notorious for its staggering daily slaughter of 13 million animals and annual revenues reaching $50 billion. It's been embroiled in numerous controversies, plagued by scandals from high-level corruption to labor abuses, environmental violations. The company's practices have come under intense scrutiny in all ways. Expanding ruthlessly into the U.S. market through acquisitions like Swift and Pilgrim's Pride Corporation, JBS cultivated close ties with the Brazilian government, leveraging substantial loans from Brazil's State Development Bank. JBS solidified its dominance in the American meatpacking industry. However, the company's involvement in the widely reported Operation Car Wash corruption scandal there in Brazil revealed the extent of JBS's criminal activities. Executives confessed to paying millions of dollars in bribes to politicians, implicating top Brazilian leaders, including then President Michel Temer and his predecessors.
So on April 26th, shareholders of JBS are going to vote on whether or not to elect Wesley and Josely Bachista back into the company's board of directors. Now, they've not been part of the board for 7 years, so why do you think they're coming back now?
Thank you. Yeah, the Bachista brothers did previously serve on the board for the world's largest meatpacker, and they faced a really tumultuous period in 2017. It was marked by arrests and scandal. Wesley Bachista, who was then CEO of JBS SA, and his brother, former chairman Josely Bachista, were arrested by Brazil's federal police amid accusations of profiting illegally from a plea deal. What they were doing, essentially, was accused of doing, they were dumping company shares, stockpiling U.S. dollars before the deal became public. That enabled them to profit as bribery allegations shook Brazil's government and financial markets. Now, despite initially avoiding prison time during this by offering evidence against the politicians that they bribed, their fortunes changed when a recording by Josely Bachista boasting about omitting evidence surfaced. It prompted threats to revoke their legal protections. Wesley Bachista was arrested. He was linked to insider trading during a plea deal negotiations, and it signaled a broader crackdown beyond the initial corruption charges. This upheaval, which was dubbed Josely Day by Brazilian traders, exposed the power and influence of Brazil's meat industry and delivered a significant blow to the stock market.
And just for our listeners, I alluded to this at the beginning of the show, but on that day that the plea deal and the secret recordings came to light, the Brazilian stock exchange dropped 8.8% in a single day, triggering a circuit breaker, and the Brazilian real also hit its lowest value in 14 years before that point.
Josely Bachista's recording, made as part of the plea deal, arising from the corruption scandal captured President Michael Temer apparently ordering bribes to a corrupt politician serving a graft-related prison sentence. The revelation shed light on widespread corruption, with JBS officials testifying to bribing 1,829 candidates from various political affiliations, spending nearly $250 million.
So the Banda Batista's advocacy group, as you mentioned at the start, it focuses on opposing JBS from listing on the New York Stock Exchange. If your efforts are unsuccessful, what do you think would happen if JBS were to go public in New York?
Actually, we don't see that happening anytime soon, and we'll deal with that if it does.
So I guess if I could rephrase that, what are the threats that you see of JBS becoming a listed company in the US?
Well, I mean, the presidential election year is about to shine a harsh spotlight on the agribusiness sector, because food prices have become a potent political issue. So both President Biden and former President Trump are talking about high prices and how to get them down. And as the media digs into that issue, we think JBS will fare poorly in the conversation. Adding the two brothers to the board, despite their criminal convictions for bribery, the endless investigations into price fixing and the environmental degradation JBS has wrought in the Amazon, is all going to get aired as the campaign make food prices a central part of their campaigns. Media is at its toughest when presidential candidates in the U.S. start talking about issues. And we think that that harsh spotlight will burn JBS, and deservingly so. For our part, we're going to do everything we can to push JBS and its terrible track record to the front and center of that conversation.
Again, as you mentioned at the start of the interview, Banda Batista's fights to, quote, protect American farmers. And I think in Brazil, when you hear about an advocacy group in the US opposing a Brazilian company, you know, the idea of why a US group would seek to protect the US agriculture industry against a Brazilian firm isn't really well understood at the moment. So if you could give us an overview of the agribusiness sector in the US and why you feel the need to protect American firms from JBS.
Sure. Well, what we're seeing is high prices at the grocery stores for American consumers. And we're seeing elected officials who are sounding the alarm from both the Republican side and the Democratic side about a JBS IPO. Because a JBS IPO with their track record of corruption and human rights abuses, their monopolization of the meatpacking industry here in the U.S. and their environmental risks, all point to reasons to be concerned. So in January, Banda Batista's worked with a bipartisan group led by Senator Cory Booker and Senator Warren, Rubio, Hawley, and others. And we urge the SEC Chairman Gensler to safeguard the U.S. capital markets from JBS's activities.
And what's the trajectory behind Banda Batista's? When did the idea behind that come around?
Sure. Banda Batista's was created in November of last year, when it first became known that JBS was going to try and list on the stock market again. And Banda Batista's is one of many groups that is joining the movement to expose JBS's long track record of corruption. And we're doing this, again, like you said, to protect investors, farmers, and consumers from the what we think will be a detrimental impact of a JBS listing in the U.S.
Thanks a lot for joining us, Kimberly.
Thank you, Ewan. I really appreciate you having me on today.
In justifying the reappointment of the Batista brothers to the board, JBS say that neither Joesley or Wesley have faced any criminal convictions or administrative proceedings from the securities regulator or central bank in the last 5 years. Regarding the campaign against its plans for an IPO, JBS says that going public in the US will, quote, attract a broader base of investors, increase the flexibility to issue shares to finance growth and deleveraging opportunities, reduce the cost of capital, and further increase scrutiny of JBS's already robust governance. The company also said that it is important to, quote, separate the facts from external noise. If you like Explaining Brazil, please give us a 5-star rating wherever you get your podcasts. Or better yet, subscribe to The Brazilian Report, the journalistic engine behind this podcast. We have a subscription-based business model, and your memberships fuel our journalism and keep us going and growing. Our work has been recognised for its quality, and we've won several international awards. And recently, The Brazilian Report was nominated for Best News Website in Latin America by the World Association of News Publishers, WANIFRA. And to continue this work, we need your support. So go to brazilian.report/subscribe. I'm Ewan Marshall. Thanks for listening, and Explaining Brazil will be back next week.